So I know probably at Notre Dame, Ottumwa,
Ottumwa.
different they have an organ competition,
They
you
have,
know.
yeah, they have in Ottumwa,
You
right?
know, that sort of thing. And I imagine it probably attracts all sorts of young musicians. And this one has been going on for quite a while.
This competition has been going on since 1971 here in San Antonio, and it was started by Bill Hall, William C. Hall, and it was because he was a great lover of organs and organ music, and in particular, he loved the music of Bach. So he started this competition for only students who are enrolled in undergraduate and graduate programs in universities in the state of Texas. And so, as a component of that competition, there was always a Bach work for the undergraduates and one for the graduate students. And then they would have a second work of their choice, a contrasting piece, and a hymn. Because he felt that hymn playing was a very necessary and important skill for all organists to master.
Yeah, is this something that as you have your students in the studio that they have been to or mention and sort of get excited about this sort
Oh,
of thing?
sure. My students have attended over the years, and certainly within the universities in the area and colleges within the area. And there is a great deal of excitement outside of San Antonio for this competition, particularly with the schools, say, in the Dallas and the Houston areas. And there are a number of fine organ programs up there, for instance, University of North Texas up in Denton, Southern Methodist University. Over in Houston, we've got two fine organ programs at Rice and at University of Houston. Baylor University has been a big participant. Joyce Jones, for all the years that she was there, she sent many, many students. University of Texas at Austin has a strong organ program.
Yeah, it's one of those things that to me it's very interesting that our society has sort of gotten wrapped up into either things on the computer with Guitar Hero or even to go a little more banal, this sort of television and all these, sort of Survivor and something like Who's Got Talent and whatnot. So to me it is interesting that the classical world's been doing this for a very long time. The Paris Conservatory has had entrance exams, and we have all these awesome pieces from different competitions. So it's kind of neat for the classical musicians that this will actually could make a little bit of a difference in their education and maybe for, the next school or their next, performance.
Oh, it definitely does. I think one of the, from a pedagogical standpoint, the competition really is something that can give the teacher and the student a goal to be working toward within their degree program, but also the recognition that one gets from actually winning, placing within the competition that helps to give them maybe a little bit of a leg up out there in the professional world, and certainly something that they can include in their resumes and say, I had first prize in the William C. Bill Hall competition in San Antonio. Because that competition is widely recognized around the United States, and we've had judges over the years that come in from all parts of the country. And when they experience the competition, they come away with a very positive feeling about it. They really enjoy it, and they say that, well, organ instruction in the state of Texas is strong.
Yeah, and it must be not only with your own students, but to just hear young people out there playing Bach and doing something different. It's got to be a real joy for you, David, to sort of hear these things.
Oh, most definitely. And to hear different interpretations of Bach and different approaches to Bach. And Bach scholarship has changed so much over the last 25 years. And it's interesting to hear how the different instructors have, taken that information, made it part of their own instruction, or have chosen not to. And so, with artistic freedom and artistic license, I guess, for lack of a better term, I find as a teacher, it's fascinating for me to sit down in the pew and listen to how students at other institutions are playing the exact same pieces that I'm teaching with my students. I learn a lot just by listening to the students coming in from other schools.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's neat. The competition is Saturday, March 2nd.
That's right.
And then there's also a concert on the 3rd.
This year there will not be a concert on the 3rd. Instead, there will be a recital on the 4th of March at Parker Chapel that we are including as a part of the weekend's festivities. James O'Donnell from Westminster Abbey in London will be performing at Parker Chapel at 7:30 in the evening, and that is free and open to the public. In the past, we have had performances. Last year, we had a hymn festival on the Sunday, which was really wonderful. So each year, it sort of changes a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, and to me, it's one of those things that we don't get to see the Concertmaster auditions, you know, publicly of the symphony. Mm-hmm. We don't hear, you know, these sort of things usually when a lawyer, you know, goes in for a job interview, you know, that's sort of a private matter. But this is one of those things that if you'd like to hear some fresh interpretations, some very young artists play some amazing music. Mm-hmm. It's open. You can come down and be able to hear it, you know, spend the afternoon, have lunch, come back and hear some different things, right?
The competition will start, I think, we have a record number this year in both the undergraduate and graduate division. So I think it will begin probably around 8:30 in the morning. And you can come and go as you please. There will be a break during the lunch hour, come back in the afternoon. And the announcement of the winners is usually made around 4 o'clock in the late afternoon after everyone has played. And so it's always kind of fun to hang around and wait to see, make the announcement to see who has won the different prizes in the different divisions.
Yeah, well, it's such a great thing for the community to be able to experience and for these young people to, you know, go on and, you know, hone their craft a little bit.
Definitely. It's really gratifying to see and hear these young people, because it's a pressure cooker. They only get about 3 hours of practice on the organ, and they have to sit down and then perform their best. And sometimes that practice time is a bit removed from when they actually go out Saturday morning to play, because we have so many. Some of them are practicing actually on the organ on Thursday. So it's a real test for them, not just musically, but also of their nerves and of their wherewithal when they have to sit down and play under pressure. And it's a good learning experience.
I know I'm spoiled being a violinist. You know, I take my instrument wherever. It may be hard sometimes on airplanes, but, you know, I have my instrument and know what it is. Whereas, you know, pianists and organists especially, and pianists can kind of sit down and expect to see a Steinway or maybe a Yamaha, depending on the hall. You guys, there are so many fabulous makers and different things. And then, you know, I have 4 strings. I don't have to worry about all the different pipes and registrations, right? I mean,
and no 2 organs are ever alike. And even if you pull a stop that has the same name on it from one instrument to another, it may not sound the same. And that's one of the great challenges of being an organist, is that you deal with these different instruments when you go from venue to venue, from church to church. And that's one of the challenges for me as a teacher, is to get the student acclimated enough at the home instrument, but yet flexible enough that when they go out to another organ, they will know what to do and how to make it sound, or what will choose the stops that will really bring that music to life.
I'm always fascinated as well, is that would love to assume that the sound that you have at the console is what you hear in the audience, that, you know, it's designed that way. But I'm always, you know, I asked Paul Jacobs, I was like, so do you have anyone, you know, if you're here a couple of days before recital, do you actually, you know, play some things and have someone play and you actually go out, you know, because it's interesting. Ultimately, you want the sound that the audience is going to hear.
The sound of the organ at the console is not necessarily what the audience will hear out in the room, and it can be deceptive. And when I go on the road and do recitals, I try to get somebody to come in and listen, to check to make sure that what I've chosen for registrations will work. Acoustics are different, so sometimes you may have to play in a more detached manner if it's a live room as opposed to playing in a dead room. All of that comes into play as a performing artist, and that implies a greater sense of flexibility, and that's a hard skill to learn, but once you learn it, you never forget it.
Yeah. Well, we're delighted you came in today, and we're looking forward to this coming up Saturday. And then, as you were mentioning, it's different. It's on Monday night.
Monday night, 7:30.
At Parker, not at
Parker
the first.
That's right.
Right there at Trinity. I guess I'd end and ask, you know, so shoes? Are they all going to have to go up and change things? How do you guys, worry about this sort of thing? Because, you don't obviously wear street shoes probably for
your
pedals.
No. We have shoes that, as a matter of fact, there are a couple of companies that make shoes specifically for organists. And the important thing about having a shoe is that it's got to have the type of surface that allows you to skim, to move around on the pedals and have that freedom of motion, which means a leather sole and a leather heel. And that's the first investment any beginning organ student has to make. When a new student begins with me at Trinity, we sit down immediately and talk about, okay, you're going to need to get a pair of shoes, you're going to get a method book, so there's a little bit of an outlay of cash. But shoes are very, very important. I'm very particular about the type of shoe that I use. And I think most organists actually are. Now, Europeans are generally not quite so fussy about the shoes that they wear. And some of our European artists who've come to Parker Chapel have just clomped on some shoes, their street shoes, and sat down and played away at the pedals, and it didn't bother them at all. And then I've had some European artists. I remember when Madame Duroflay played at Trinity, she had shoes that had like at least a 3-inch heel on them. And
wow.
She sat down and played, and I was amazed at how she got around the pedal board, but that's the way, she's used to playing that way.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, it's good to see you, and we're looking forward to this.
Thank you. My pleasure.